Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for what you're doing for the ministry and what you're doing for me. And we give praise unto you, O Lord, for everything that you're doing. And Lord, please bless this meeting and bless us to understand and perceive things and be encouraged and so on. Okay, we're going to continue with Trials of Faith. Prepare us for battle. Number 3. All right. Surrender ownership is the first one we're going to do here. 5:11-23, Samuel 5. I dreamt that I was with my family and with other brethren. We all decided to have a group barbecue at a water park. The water park, I believe, represents the apostate church where they go to be entertained while only playing in the water of the word. The barbecue represents fiery trials for the flesh to be sacrificed. Amen. This park had a bunch of wild animals which were treated kindly and were dotted around the area being left alone. They were like a theme to the water park. I believe the wild animals represent unsaved worldly people around us and in the apostate harlot church who are part of the beast kingdom. We were all having fun and were going to go for a swim. And one of the neighbor adults was hesitant due to a fear of the animals and didn't know if they were dangerous. I said, the worst animal here is a duck. That is completely harmless and cute, which would paddle nearby. So we were then all waist-deep in the water, splashing, and the children were excited and having fun with shouts of glee. Suddenly, I saw someone grab my laptop. They decided to use it and wanted to swim at the same time. I was gritting my teeth and being as lenient and kind as I could. In the natural, I would have gone berserk and kept it safe and far away from anyone else. Well, God uses family and even brethren, he says, to try us and to crucify our flesh. True, true. We go through these every day. They're tests. We should pay attention to them and do the best we can, right? By the grace of God. So this kind of fiery trial is what the barbecue is doing. The flesh is being burned up while we do not give into it, right? And Psalm 39:3 says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. There you go, burning up the flesh. Suddenly, they had it in the water with them before I could react. Then, as expected, the laptop got wet and stopped working. They were trying to drip off the water to get it to work, but to no avail. I was upset and grabbed it from them and said, if you wanted to do this, have the expectations to replace this. All my life's work is on this, and I need to use this all the time. They all fell silent. Even when someone is being used by God to crucify our flesh, we are to not react in the flesh. We are to forgive and love them just as Jesus did. Because Jesus always has a solution, doesn't he? Yeah. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born in adversity. Yes. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins. And 1 Corinthians 13:7, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things, all things. I then felt sorry, and I repented to Father for my heart and reaction to them and the whole situation. I felt that our Father would easily replace it, and I shouldn't get upset over something our Father had provided, and everything belongs to Him. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit, he says, who convicts us when we're wrong and brings us into the image of Jesus for all eternity. So we can let go of everything that isn't holy and isn't the Word of God. Amen. And I would say many do not repent and justify their feelings and actions towards others who behave in weakness or ignorance. And it's a gift of God to repent when we realize that we have reacted in the flesh in a situation. True. All right, we call this one Trials Passing Through the Harlot Church. Tiana Fire, 121:23. I dreamt that Samuel and I were journeying in a red van. And in parenthesis, she says, we are covered in the blood of the Lamb. Yes. To a good place, the promised land, with many other brethren in the back of the van. Samuel was driving, and I was in the passenger seat next to him. We stopped in a town where they were professing Christianity. We only wanted to be there for the night, to rest and then continue our journey. Well, there are many who claim Christianity, but they are part of the harlot church who look and act like the world. And we are to pass through these church denominations as we grow up very quickly, hopefully. And we met the leader of the town. His name was Cornelius. And in the New Testament, there was a Roman centurion named Cornelius, which means of a horn. Everyone in the town tried to make us feel welcome, although they were not spiritually on the same page as us, and they were still kind. Well, most of Christianity are not spirit-filled and mind the things of the flesh. And yes, they're kind, unless they're tried or tested. And Cornelius gave Samuel and I a tour of a house. The house was absolutely perfect, and the type of house I would like. It was small, with an open living area, with only one bedroom and two bathrooms. Literally everything in the house was exactly how I would want it. And one bathroom had a deep bath and a nice shower that was set up with climbing steps that I thought our son would love. So in the dream, I kept repeating how this house was what I would like and how awesome the design was, and I would have it all the same way. Well, in our journey to the promised land, God knows our weaknesses and what our flesh would be tempted with, which we learn to say no to and die to, because we know that God has better things and He doesn't want us camping out here. We got to get through these denominations and tests and get on with the program, you know. At the end of the tour, they said that if we stayed in this town, that they would let us have the house for free. Oh, another lure, huh? So this sounds like the prosperity gospel of worldly comforts. I knew this house would be better than I expected. However, I certainly did not want to stay in this town, and I wanted to be regularly around people who are on fire for God and want more of Him and are growing in Him. And I knew this was the enemy tempting me. Well, surely. We all tempted along the way. So we're all faced with the desires of the flesh and are tempted to compromise We have to forsake all in order to follow the Lord and not give in to our flesh. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We tried to get alone with the brethren we traveled here with, but we were unable to because there were so many people in this community and they just kept wanting to talk. I found out from one brother that he was also tempted with a free house. Well, you know, the harlot churches tempt the flesh with worldly comforts and nothing about growing up in the Lord and crucified life. Proverbs 5 and 3 says, for the lips of a strange woman drop honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. In Proverbs 7 and 21, with her much fair speech she causeth him to yield. Mm-hmm. It was now night, and everyone was gathered around a fire. We felt that we should leave this place right now. So we went to find the brethren to tell them that we were going to leave, and all but one of them agreed to leave, and this one person decided to stay in this town. Well, many people desire to stay in the comfort and ease of the denominational churches, and in the parable of the seed and sower, this person represents those where the seed was sown among the thorns. Luke 8 and 14. And that seed which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So we looked for the van to leave, but we couldn't find it anywhere, so we decided to just walk the rest of the way. We all planned to meet in a forest just outside of the town. And on our way out, some people noticed that we were leaving, and they started chasing after us. We ran to the meeting spot, and together we started running through the forest. We didn't know where to go, but felt in spirit when to stop and where to turn, etc. A few of the brethren gave up running, and they didn't want to stay in the forest, so they just went back to the last town. Yep. The tribulations will weed people out, right? The Apostle Paul exhorts us to continue in the race and endure to the end. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run that you may attain. One receiveth the prize, that's Jesus. Those who abide in Jesus will receive the prize. Hebrews 12 and 1, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You don't want to be distracted in these coming days with the things of the world and the pleasures of life, right? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Well, not everyone who starts out with this in the race continues to the end. Many fall away and go back to their worldly ways. Many of Jesus' disciples chose not to continue to follow him in John 6, 6, 6, right? Notice the number. Because they felt his words were too hard for them to hear and to do them. And also we see in the sixth book of Romans, and 6 and 6, there it is again, 6, 6, 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Amen. We ran until the next day, and around midday, we arrived at another town. We jumped over a fence to get into the town and searched around, not wanting to draw attention to ourselves. Samuel heard the Lord say that he would provide another vehicle in this town to continue the journey. And while we were in this town, a few people got distracted with food in a marketplace, and they decided it was too much to continue the journey. Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but Pentecostal people realize they can't do a lot, so the one thing they do is eat. Many Pentecostal people get in idolatry with food and get weighed down with the world. Weighed down. They wanted to settle down and stay in a place where they would always have access to food, water, shelter, and other comforts. Yep, that's not like the wilderness, you know. There's uncertainties there, and you grow in your faith there, right? So they didn't have to contend with the trials of living by faith and chose to go back to the worldly comforts and fleshly satisfaction. And Paul says in Philippians 3:19, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. In 2 Timothy 2:3-5, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolleth him as a soldier. And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned except that he contend lawfully. So we have an example. Our example is Jesus, right? We're just a passing through. Sojourners, right? The Israelites didn't like the manna in the wilderness. They longed for the flesh pots and the foods that they were accustomed to in Egypt, where they were in bondage to the old man. And God's people are being called out of Egypt to follow the man-child Jesus into the wilderness, where they lived the crucified life, and where they were to deny self and learn to rely completely on God to provide. Walk by faith, right? We met a few people in this town who wanted to join us. The Lord blessed us with a green van. Green represents life. And more brethren, although we had lost all the brethren who started out with us, except one. Again, in the parable of the sower, only when one went on to bear the fruit of Christ. And Mark 4:20 says, and those are they that are sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Yes. So can't watch the masses, whatever they do. You have to be sure that you don't do that, because notice 3 out of 4 fell away. So you watch the masses and you follow them. You will miss it. Not everyone continues with us, and as we have seen, some have come and gone from us, and we will see this in the tribulation period too. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. Mm-hmm. Yep. We continued our journey in the green van, not wanting to get distracted and keeping watch to make sure we didn't give in to the flesh, but persevere in getting to our desired destination, which is without the flesh, right? Philippians 3 and 14. I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yep. Well, the high calling of Christ to be in the bride and to manifest the hundredfold fruit should be high on our mind, right? Okay, we call this cleansing idols from the heart. Anonymous 12:10-22. I sought the Lord regarding idols in our heart and heard. Be aware of idols of insecurity and selfishness. You need to reshape and rethink on how you perceive the life in Christ. Well, that's because He is our example, not just our Savior and our sacrifice, right? In Colossians 3:3-4 says, For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when the Christ, our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with Him be manifested in glory. Ephesians 4:22-24, That you put away, as concerning your former behavior, the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Insecurity is where you want or require something that when put to the test, does it promote eternity with me? And it would be thrown out into the fire. I supply all your needs and desires for your heart. Continue to replace the earthly and always put me first, and keep a watch for the things that could be contrary to my word. And I would say, remember that we own nothing. We are only stewards. We're handling it for God. Luke 14:33. So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We have to renounce ownership. Father will supply our every need, not necessarily our every greed, right? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So you don't have to worry about packing them with you, right? Philippians 4:19, And my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Keep on believing that and confessing that, and you will find out it works. Psalm 37:4-5, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. That's what we want. We want the desires of the Lord in our heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. True. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. So then, let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. Selfishness is where there is pride and misunderstanding, especially what has been taught and learned through the world's ways and the religious organizations. And this all comes between us. Proverbs 13:10, By pride cometh only contention. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, Let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good. Yes. As we give, it will be given unto us, right? Philippians 2:4-5, Not looking each severally to his own things, but each severally also to those of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yep, you noticed he wasn't really lusting after the world, nor his disciples. The most important thing to them was what was important to God. Well, the renewal of your mind is the best place to begin to be cleansed and sanctified. And after these things, we're to put into check and aligned back according to my Son, he said, and my Word. You can receive and manifest 100-fold. Amen. We want to please the Lord above all things. When you please the Lord, you're in the right path. And when your flesh is suffering because it doesn't get what it wants, you're in the right path. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Colossians 3 and 10. And have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. What knowledge? Well, the renewing of your mind with the Word of God, right? Luke 8 and 8. And others fell into the good ground and grew and brought forth fruit 100-fold. Mark 10, 29 and 30. Jesus said, Amen, I say unto you, there is no one that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now. Like when a bath is filled up with water, you get in and the water rises. And when you get out, you can fill it up all the way to the top. The objects within, idols, I would say, are of no value. And when removed, then they enable more room to be filled with me, says the Lord. Aim and focus on the hardest and most hidden of evil. This is self. Learn to hate the concept and mindset of being an individual. Instead, you need to incorporate my Son, as he is the perfect replacement. Amen. Most of the church doesn't have the vision of coming into the likeness of Jesus. They think it's impossible, and they like that because it lets them hold on to their flesh, right? Psalm 51 and 10, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. John 3 and 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. And Proverbs 8 and 13, The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth do I hate. Yep. Amen. To get past all of self and anything that is carnal and fleshly, you need to seek and find and rout out all the things that can be of this type. Keep an eye and an ear on the self. Watch out for outward evil manifestations and bring it into the light for full exposure. Ephesians 5 and 8, For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So he's still hearing this voice of the Lord speaking these things, okay? Just wanted to remind you. Ephesians 5, 11 through 13, And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when reproved, are manifested by the light. For everything manifested is light. Yes, and Psalm 18:28 says, For thou wilt light my lamp. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. Amen. Speak it out and pray it out and know that it is a process for it all to go. Yes, sanctification or holiness is a process where God shows us what needs to be cleansed and gives us the faith that we were cleansed at the cross. So believe that you are at the end of your current state and are already perfected in Christ. It's just the flesh and soul with understanding that needs to catch up. Colossians 1 and 27 says, "To whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." In James 1, 2 through 4, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." And I would say 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world." That's why you look in the mirror and you see Jesus until you come into that same image, right? Amen. Okay, we call this the seed. 1:13:23, given to Samuel Fire. "I saw a giant oak tree dropping acorns." That's the seed, right? "From its branches. The tree was praying that these seeds would sprout." I don't know about trees praying, but we are like this tree. When we sow seeds, that we expect to bring forth fruit, right? And we can pray that they will bring forth fruit. "Some animal, maybe a squirrel, grabbed one and broke it open, but for some reason was startled and dropped it on the ground." Well, the little beast natures in our life seek to devour the seed, that it become unfruitful. Right. "It landed where a smaller tree had been knocked over, and it fell in the soft, fresh dirt near it." I would say the smaller tree that had been knocked over is where somebody lost their position in the kingdom, and now it was being replaced. Did you know that that's what the Lord does? Yes. "The soft, fresh dirt represents the good ground in the heart to receive the seed of the word." And John 12 and 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit." The oak tree somehow knew this was pleased because it was pleased that it would be a good spot to grow. All right. He knew it would be a good spot to grow. So throughout the Bible, God likens people to trees. Israel is like the fig tree. And Hosea 9 and 10 says, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at its first season." And Mark 8 and 24, "And he looked and said, I see men, for I behold them as trees walking." Mm-hmm. Isaiah 61 and 3, "That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Amen. Amen. And Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." That's the waters of the word. It causes it to grow and be healthy, etc. "Neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Amen. Matthew 12 and 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit." Mm-hmm. Well, Father plants them where He desires, and He causes them to grow and to bear fruit. But those that do not bear good fruit prove not to be His and are cut down. I then saw us at Burger King restaurant where we basically gave all our food to a young couple who we prayed for and shared the gospel seed with them. Then we bought more food, and this time we drove off to eat somewhere else. This represents constant sowing of our seed into people. We always feel edified when we share the seed with others. Have you noticed that? That's the pleasure of the Lord in you. In Ecclesiastes 11:6, it says, "In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." If you plant a crop, you want to plant a crop that's a little bit bigger than what you expect, right? And according to the parable of the seed and the sower, three of four do not bear fruit. We don't know who will hear and receive it, but we sow the seeds to many people, and the Lord causes the fruit to bear forth in His own. Well, as seeds drop into the ground and the husk dies, so it grows and bears fruit. So our flesh is to die to everything carnal and worldly, so it can grow and prosper in the life of Jesus. The Word of God in the parable of the sower is the seed that brings forth that life. Amen. Here's, we call this Travel to Peace, Anonymous 1-4-22. I dreamt that my husband and I were journeying to a place called Tully. Tully is Celtic or Irish origin, and it means peaceful flood and from the hill. Tully was a very beautiful place. It was very green, perfect temperature. It was like a paradise on earth with all earthly delights. Well, the earthly delights can represent trials of fleshly lusts that we must overcome. And Jesus is our peace as He leads us through the wilderness towards this Mount Zion. And we continue to abide in Christ Jesus. That's heavenly places, right? John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Amen. So to get to this heavenly place, we had to follow a long path that went through many different towns. And all the land to get there was very green and a tropical climate, and the path went through the center of the land. And as we began this journey to Tully, most of it seemed to go very easily. There were no struggles or difficulties. So remember, these are the towns you go through till you get to Zion, right? Your aim is Zion. Your aim is the bride, right? In the beginning of our walk, we may not experience much tribulation, but it does lie ahead. For through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. Sometimes the Lord doesn't want to discourage us right off, and He kind of gradually brings us into some things that we need to overcome. So then we saw the first town ahead we had to pass through. This town also looked so very beautiful, and all the land here was green. However, I saw in spirit an extremely deep ocean trench just before entering this town. The trench was hidden by all the green grass. And if someone wanted through walk through this particular area, they would fall into the trench. It was extremely deep, and honestly, it was very scary. So the green grass hides the pitfalls, you know, on your way to the great promised land, right? So the deep ocean of the waters represents the nations of the world, where some fall back into their old lifestyles, like the parable of the sower. Revelation 17 and 15, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." The grass represents the flesh, 1 Peter 1:24. "For all flesh is as grass," which of course it hides the danger. You know, that's why we are constantly getting rid of the flesh, because it hides the danger. The grass hid the pitfall, right? And the trench represents the hidden snares, the traps that are laid out by our enemies to try to entrap us. You remember Pilgrim's Progress? Yeah. That was a good book on that. Psalm 140 and 5, "The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside." Psalm 35 and 7, "For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul." Psalm 119 and 110, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet have I not gone astray from thy precepts." But it was revealed to us that we would not fall into it. Amen. So the Lord leads us by the Spirit, revealing the enemy's plans and the way of escape, right? In the next scene, I saw that we had somehow safely made it through the town with the hidden trench, and we were being introduced to men, or to the man that founded the town. This man was extremely rich and very evil. He was telling us how and why he founded it. The logo for the town was an orange and white crab with navy blue as the background. Well, crabs roam on both land and sea, and they hide and use their claws to catch and to hold their unsuspecting prey. So that could give you a clue to the town, right? And this guy, I knew this man had evil desires and intentions, and as he was talking, he did not seem to have any issues with us. He showed us the town, and it looked beautiful, but there was so much hidden agenda here. Well, they hide, and they use their claws to catch and to hold their unsuspecting prey, right? So everything is not as it seems. And that's why we have to continually sharpen up our discernment in the Bible. He took us to this underground motel that he owned. Well, crabs hide underground, above or below water. The rooms went extremely deep underground in water, very deep, like an ocean trench. And it was so very dark. There was an elevator that quickly descended underground. There was one room per floor. He showed us one room, which was laid out like a large, tall motel room. One half of the room was filled with water containing sharks. In the other half was water containing an octopus. Well, both are predators, aren't they? And that's what we have to watch out for on our path, is these predators. We will be tested. The Word of God gives us discernment. We must stay in the Word of God. When we returned from the underground motel, we met the man's wife, who seemed friendly, and I couldn't understand how she could be with such an evil man. We shared the gospel with them both and spoke about our Lord, and the woman was receiving, but the man was not. It appeared that this man held nothing against us, despite his evil intentions. Yes, their smooth and fair speech beguiled the hearts of the innocent, right? They don't act like they're against you, but they are. In other words, hiding his evil intentions, right? I was reminded how Christian children go to college to get a higher education in order to get a better job, they think. But they're often spiritually killed by liberal professors as Satan's helpers hiding there, right? I said to the man that I am believing and hoping for God to give him repentance, even if it's only a short time before his death. I want him to repent and be with our Lord. Well, bless everyone with truth in love. Luke 6 and 27 through 28 says, "But I say unto you that here, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, and bless those that curse you, and pray for those reviling you." Yes, amen. Okay, I think we'll go. We said goodbye to them and went to leave the town when we overheard some men shouting. We went over to them and saw how they were trying to stop six Christians from following Jesus. The Christians refused and were threatened, and then they took them to the underground rooms containing the sharks and octopus. It was made known that they put the Christians in there to kill them, but if they survived, they would be taken to another underground area containing lions to kill them. Well, Christians are persecuted and killed in covert and overt ways everywhere, and in spiritual and physical ways everywhere. So we are to be steadfast in the faith despite the physical risks. Matthew 24:9 says, "Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake." I believe we're coming to just such a time as this in the tribulation, especially the second half of the tribulation. Matthew 10 and 28 says, "And fear not them that kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna," or hell, as it's translated often. Okay, two of these people survived the sharks and octopus and were taken to the underground rooms of the lions. And the men then said that they wanted my baby son. I either said it aloud or in my mind, "No, because Jesus has set us free from sin and death, and we won't physically die because it's not us living." They started chasing me, and I knew that they couldn't touch me. But I wasn't so sure about my son. So I ran out of the underground cave with them chasing me. Well, let me say, the son can represent a couple of things. It could represent your spiritual man. And, of course, the devil is always out to kill your spiritual man. Okay. And I'll mention here a little lower. It says, I started flying forward and off the ground. That means overcoming the world, right? And I asked God to take my baby now up to heaven, like Enoch and Elijah were taken, and that God won't let him physically die. I lifted him up to heaven while flying, and I saw him be lifted up higher and higher out of my arms. They gave the NENT version here, which is good. Revelation 12 and 5. And she was delivered of a son, a male, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Amen. Another interpretation of the son. Both could be right. Okay, this is Marie Kelton, a dream she received on 10/14/23. AIDS in the water. I had a quick dream that I was telling someone that the government or the deep state was putting HIV, AIDS, in the water. There have been many prophecies about this happening, and the deep state are always up to depopulation, right? But behind all this, God is in control. He will use this to test his saints and to see if they will believe his word and trust him for his protection, so that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, right? Mark 16 and 18 says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. You just have to believe that, and that's how you receive it. For many, this will be a judgment that we hope will bring them to repentance. Amen? Because the curses of this world are meant to cause us to run to Jesus. Okay, this one was The Cross by Samuel Fire, 10:1-22. I looked at a Bible cover that we read occasionally when near the kitchen, and as I looked at the symbol of the cross, I felt the Lord say, "The cross, it is an upside-down sword, a declaration of victory. There are no more foes to battle, and it is pushed into the earth." Well, that's just like the long end of the cross. It's pushed into the earth, right? And, of course, that brings us to the end of our battle, is the death of self, right? And just as victorious a victorious knight would do at the end of a battle, the Lord just shoving the sword in the dirt, right? It is done. It is finished. Luke 11:22-23. But when a stronger than he shall come upon and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Who is not with me is against me, and who gathereth not with me scattereth. John 17:4. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. What's the major work that you come here to do? Is take up your cross and follow Jesus, because only a crucified person can be used like Jesus, right? John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's a gift. The victory is a gift. We receive it by believing his word. Praise God, for he has already done it all. He has given us the grace to overcome the flesh and to get through every trial. He has given us the faith in his word. He has set us free from the power of darkness. Yes, he has redeemed us out of the hand of our enemies, Luke 1 says. And he has set us free from the curse of sin and death. It is finished. The sword is in the ground, right? Yes, amen. And all glory is to the Father, our God Almighty. Amen. Okay, he had a question regarding chest pain, or Anonymous did, 9922, and it was very interesting. I'll share it with you. I had been having chest pain, and I sought the Lord, asking what was causing it, and this is what I heard. The Lord said, "You asked of me to deliver you and to heal you. I already have, and your faith in your soul is lining up with the Spirit. The Spirit is now in charge over you. Your soul cries to me and aches and yearns for me, and I've heard and will manifest in you more. And where it hurts in the body, it has had damage and sin. And this opposing habitat of evil is being cleansed. It does not like or want to let go. Each time my hand, usually an angel, and in prayer with thanks and praise to me, I am destroying this and creating in you a clean heart. The flesh needs to be scrubbed and stripped and all wounds exposed to the truth, the light, the love, and the Holy Spirit. I am digging deep into all roots and flushing out all of this." Well, Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Hebrews 12 and 15, "Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled." Yes, we know of roots of bitterness. The faction almost always passes on through those spirits of faction and witchcraft, roots of bitterness. And when they spring up, the first thing they want to do is go and bring that trouble to somebody else and dump it on them. "So lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled." That's their purpose. We've learned a lot over the years of how to stop these things from continuing to defile more and more people. Well, Ephesians 5 and 26 says that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. If you don't submit to the word, you will fall into the trench. And Psalm 147 and 3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Ah, so true. The Lord said, "Your soul and mind is set on me, and the body proclaims me on your lips. The body must obey my spirit. As the body learns and realizes it cannot do anything without your will, soul and mind, it obeys me. Then it tries to resist me, but loses every battle." So do not condemn yourself in being obedient to me, right? The pain is ongoing and will be filled more with my love, spirit, and truth. Continue to voice it out. In other words, speak with your heart, right? The living waters, and think on my son's life, his blood, life, and wine. Let go. Tell the body. Obey. Each time it hurts, I am here with you. Remember, my son did all for you, and showed that the toughest challenge has a greater reward, which you can endure, and the victory was done at the cross. The pain you feel is me cleaning you up of all that is not welcome or required by me. It hurts because it was stained for too long. Now, as it is gone, you also hurt from something you never felt truly before. This is my real love for you. Be in joy. I made you new. My son desires you, and no pain or flesh or evil or lies or unclean vessel. Nothing can come between me and you and our marriage for eternity. Bless you, for your reward will come more each moment as the wind and the breath and the heart beats. You come to me even closer. I will not forsake this amazing work that I have done and you have proven to me, even before you realize it, that I want you. I perfected it all for my love, for my glory, and all this pain and hurt is no more, as my words prove it. And the last is death. It is defeated even at the beginning. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the everlasting, and you already are with me. And what hurts is that way because it casts out forever and cannot win. We are victorious in Christ Jesus, and I love you. Amen. All right. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for these exhortations, and we thank you for the words that you've given. And we want to enter into everything that you are. We thank you for granting us repentance of all things and drawing us unto yourself and manifesting your Son, Jesus Christ, in us. Amen.